Sure, I'm glad I don't have to be quiet in the church. I would have a hard time with that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you, Father, for igniting us with a holy fire, Lord, and just setting our feet ablaze, Lord, running for all that you have for us to do. We thank you, Father, for the calling. We thank you, Lord, to make us strong and immovable in these last days. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we have the victory over every single obstacle that comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Do not be moved. Actually, my husband has another version. If anybody has something else other than a new NIV, then I'd like to hear some other versions of 1 Corinthians 15:58. What do you have? Amen. And your verse?
In the King James, it's be still, be strong, always working in the Lord, always knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
That's good. We thank you, Father, for your word. This is a powerful word. I know that when our family was around the dinner table growing up, we would all memorize scripture. And our daughter came up with this verse. We had never heard it before. And it so just struck us, and it so just, we all just took it to memory. We all just memorized it and took it to heart. Actually, ministry training 101 is always be working in the Lord. That's ministry training 101. Always be working in the Lord. We need to stand firm. Do not be moved. Obviously, we know that there are obstacles that are against us as we go along in the Lord. Everybody who has a calling in this life, there's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be obstacles. That's just how it is. We just have to face it. That's the way it is in our life. You know, for me as a pastor, a lot of the obstacles are you know, people love me one minute, hating me the next minute, and you know, it gets very discouraging, and I feel like, you know, just want to lay down, go to bed, forget it all, just be discouraged. The enemy's plan is for us to just be discouraged and just to want to quit, to say, forget it, I can't do it anymore. For you, it might be you're just susceptible to being offended, and you're just always offended at people, and so that just blocks you in your life with God. Because if you are walking in offense, you're blocked. You cannot progress. There is no progression in your life with God if you're walking in offense. Or if you're addicted to TV, you're addicted to computer. How are you going to get out the door if you're addicted and you just want to be lazy and watch TV? How are you going to even pull yourself up to go to the prison like on Monday night? You know, I mean, there's obstacles. There are roadblocks. It was so funny because I went to a kiddie movie with 10 children, 10 small children. Just imagine, picture that, 10 children. We brought Connie brought 5, and then we met Jen with another 5, and there we were with 10 children, and the movie was Winn-Dixie, and I found out that it was a true story, and I really loved the movie. The movie was really, really good in all the chaos, you know, that was going around. But one part, the movie actually was about a Baptist pastor and his wife and their child, and she hated, she just hated being a preacher's wife. She hated that. She hated it so bad that first she turned to drinking, and then she up and left the family, never to be seen again. I mean, gone. And it was pitiful. The little girl was 3 years old and broken, heartbroken for her mother. But so I was I was relating. I was like, I understand. I understand why you left. So it was really funny. So You know your labor is not in vain. What do you mean labor? What do you mean labor? There's laboring in the Lord? Yes, there's laboring in the Lord. Yes, it's working in the Lord. Even going to the Putnam, I did not want to go. When was it? Monday? Last Monday. I just didn't want to go. I was up really early in the morning, dancing with Melissa all day, practicing, sweating, and all this stuff. And, you know, I remembered the worship at the last second, ran over here, can't get the transparencies out there. The number wasn't written on it, so I had to go through 15 minutes of every single transparency to find the worship list and get the CD and get out there. And I'm the Putnam comedian, and I really didn't feel like being the Putnam comedian that night, and hee hee ha ha ho ho and all that stuff. And I mean, there's a labor. There's a come on. You see, when they don't laugh at me, I make them laugh. That's just the way it is. So, there I am, the Putnam comedian. Didn't feel like doing it, but God is so good. You know, 16 men came to know the Lord. It was just so awesome, and it's so worth it. You know, you're driving an hour out there, an hour back, and you know, just sometimes you don't feel like doing it. But you know what? Do you know what discipline is? Discipline is doing what you don't feel like doing. That's discipline. You do it just because you're always working in the Lord and you're laboring in the Lord. And you call that laboring in the Lord? I think not. I really think not. What I call laboring in the Lord, really, is Nora Lamb, who was 8 months pregnant, and she's preaching the gospel, and she's sent to a concentration labor camp where she has to take big stones and break them into little tiny stones and do that 16 hours a day with no sleep and no food. I call that laboring in the Lord. That's laboring in the Lord. That's laboring. That's always working in the Lord and laboring. We are so spoiled. Don't get me on the spoiled American thing, okay? Don't even let me go there. You know, even going, I remember my husband, he was laying here on a Tuesday night, and he was, he'd got up from praying, and he said, I just had this vision, and the Lord showed me that we had just gone to Putnam, actually, a few days before, and the Lord showed me the reward of just that one visit. And he was just like, it was amazing. Just going one time, what the reward in heaven for that is. I think if we really grabbed hold of that, always working in the Lord, always knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It does not return to you void. It lasts forever. You make the effort to push yourself out of your bed and out of your comfort zone and push yourself to go there. God will reward you so richly. You can't even, I think if you had a glimpse of it, then, you know, you would want to go. But there's times, there's struggling times. There are labors. I remember Putnam, well, we went Putnam, this is a Putnam sermon here. Putnam 2004, my Christmas Eve, 2004. And my husband comes down with a terrible fever, 102 fever, and pushes himself and forces himself to go, bringing all this team of people, and get there, and half the compound shows up. 209 men show up. It was 30 souls came to know the Lord. It was such a wonderful night. But when we push ourselves, when our God is so strong and he shows up in such an amazing way, and it doesn't matter how we feel or how weak we feel like we are, God is moves in such a powerful way. I remember a first time going into Coleman. And this is a big giant federal prison, and it was a really big deal that God opened the door. It was not easy to get into Coleman, and so that morning I wake up. You don't mind me telling the story. I wake up. That, you know, a lot of you heard the story. I wake up that morning. I have a migraine headache, and don't usually have a migraine headache. I was nauseous, a headache, and I was like, no, I am not staying home. I know that I'm meant to go. This is from Satan. I'm going to press through this. And I dragged myself to church and prayed, and the headache started to lift. And so we got into the, as we were walking through these massive doors of this big federal prison, it's really eerie and weird. Now I start getting a bladder infection, and I'm panicking. I'm just panicking. And the enemy's just coming at me in every single way possible. And so I worked through that and prayed through that and then got out, and we had lunch, and then I started getting so sick with nausea right before going into the women's prison. And so then going on the way home, I have this fear of grasshoppers. When I was a child, I was walking down the road, and all of a sudden I feel this like piece of wood or something sticking on right in the middle of my head. And so I took it out, and it twitched, and it was this big, ugly grasshopper. And from that time on, I just had this disgust and horror over grasshoppers. And so as we were getting in the van to leave the Coleman, Deacon Kevin here finds a grasshopper and throws it right into my lap in the back seat of the van. And so here I am driving home in the dark with my legs up, knowing this grasshopper was in the van. So there are obstacles. There are obstacles to going. There are roadblocks. There will always be roadblocks. But we have to press through those things that the enemy comes. And it was a wonderful time with the men and with the women. It was just an awesome time. God moved in an amazing way. But we're not to be moved. Do not be moved. Just continue on. Just plow away. Do not be moved. Do not take those attacks as, I'm just, forget it, I quit. That's it. That's the end of it. Oh, it's over now. No, we just move on. You know, we have lots of people that come here. God sends them here because they have a calling on their life, and they have ministry within them, and we see that they have ministry within them. And we had one woman come here, and she proclaimed that she has a healing ministry, and her ministry is going to be as Benny Hinn's ministry, because she is called to the masses. She is an awesome woman of God. So, okay, well, you know, obviously she was a little bit puffed out, a little bit filled with pride, just a little bit, little bit, little bit. Okay, you can't tell someone like that they're a little bit puffed out, full of pride, they get offended. So, all right, okay. All right, well, you know, we'll work with you, and, oh, my vision is for this area, and okay, well, come and sit for a little while, and, you know, get trained, and we'll work with you. We want to see you, you know, prosper in the ministry. You know, why don't you write out a sermon and Wednesday night come and do a teaching here on Wednesday night? Never did that. Never. No. I said, have you ever preached before? No, never preached before. Well, no, never was going to. She couldn't come here. I guess there wasn't that many people here because she was called, you see, to the masses, to the millions. Far, you can't even see with the eye. Far beyond. You know, what we don't understand is that we start low, and the Lord gives us a little bit. He gives us a few little people, and we're faithful with that. And you struggle along, and maybe a little bit, a few more people, and you're faithful with that. And He tests you, and it's not fun. And maybe a few more people, maybe. And then over the years and years and years, He watches your faithfulness and tests you. And then He increases, gives you a little more, gives you a little more, gives you a little more. And that's the way the progression of the ministry is. For my husband and I, we were called... We were called when we were in our 20s, and we waited for 15 years. There's a process. It's a process. And a lot of people can't go through the little process. I want the big, the grandeur, because I'm just amazingly great. Can't even hardly fit through the door. I'm so awesome. But, so also within this woman, not only did she have, you know, all this pride, she didn't believe in submitting to covering. She was critical. She was fault-finding, and she was judgmental. She says, there's just something wrong with this church, and I just don't know what it is, but there's something wrong here. So, you know, you're not going to find a perfect church with perfect people. It just ain't going to happen. It's not going to be there. So if, you know, And those kinds of people that do not put themselves in the humble little circumstances, you will see, and if you look at their life, if you examine their life, they have no open doors and they have no fruit. There is nothing happening. There is nothing happening for them. There is no open door. Nothing happening. There's a process. There's a way. God has made it clear in His Word. So, I wrote down here, pride, rebellion, criticism, false finding, and judgment will cause the called of God to dishonor the house of God and hand over their ministry into the hands of the devil. You literally, if you walk in this way, if you walk with all these obstacles, these are obstacles of the enemy, every single one, rebellion, pride, false finding, criticism, judgment, every single one of those is an obstacle and a roadblock of the enemy. And if you walk in that way, you hand your calling over to the devil. That's just the way it is. And it's very sad to see, and it's very, very, it happens all of the time, all of the time. And it's very sad to see, and it breaks our hearts. Now I want to discuss something that I know no one has a problem with, and it's a part of the body. It's a very poisonous, little, deadly part of the body. So anybody can guess what that might be, a little part of the body that really causes all sorts of... You already know what it is. You asked, right? The grasshopper. Is that a part of the body? I'm talking about the tongue. The tongue. The tongue. I remember years ago I was laying in bed with my husband and he was the Spirit of the Lord was all over us and he was prophesying, and it had to do with something like the waters were poisoned or dirty, or if I would not take care of my tongue, then the fresh springing waters of the Holy Spirit and the words that God was wanting to use me as a mouthpiece to the people, that was not going to happen. I was going to have to take care of my tongue before fresh living waters would spring forth for prophecies and prophetic things for people. Did you know that when we talk bad about people, did you know that God is listening? Did you know that? That the Holy Spirit is very grieved. The Holy Spirit just feels like, oh, I am so sick of hearing this. He is. He can't stand listening to all the people of God yapping, yapping, yapping about other people, and especially about, you know, ministers and ministries. It is so displeasing to the Lord, and it's a very hard thing. I was raised in a very negative, both parents were so negative. So in me was this negativity. And so I lived in my young days, I lived out of negativity. I lived out of judgment, criticism, fault finding. I had to talk about people. I could not curtail that. And that night, years ago, when I got that word, it was the conviction. It was, you know, sometimes you just don't know that you're living out of this way because you're so deceived and you don't really know it. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon me and I began to see clearly, oh, I have to stop. And the only way to stop, and it takes years and years and years. I mean, especially if it's a real stronghold in your life. It takes years and years to administer the fruit of self-control, to stop talking, to just shh, be quiet. Stop your mouth. Shh. Don't say it. Just don't say it. If it's bad, if it's negative, if it's talking about people, shh. Don't say it. And the reason that I think talking about people and slandering people is such an epidemic, because it's the thing that keeps us so dirty and it keeps us stifled as a roadblock in the ministry. So you can't do that on your own. If that's your problem, you can't do that on your own. It's only through the help of the Holy Spirit. You must get with the Holy Spirit. And what I had to do in my life was over and over again, Holy Spirit, please convict me when I start to do it. Please convict me when I start to do it. And He would. And I would do it, and I'd know, and I'd repent, and I would do it, and I would repent, 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 repent. And my I'm still doing it, yes. You know, but I'm getting better, I'm getting better, I'm progressing. I'm asking you to progress, to recognize it, see it, and then progress. And then say, I'm going to get better. I'm going to go further. I'm going to get better in this area. And I wanted to read James 4:11. James 4:11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your brother? Who are you? I remember when the revelation came, and it made me sick. When I was like, I'm a judge. I've become a judge, and that's not my place to be a judge. God is the judge of everything and everybody. I'm not the judge. If I'm walking as a judge, I'm walking in an ugly, dirty place. I'm actually subjecting myself to the judgment of God, because that is a big, fat yuck. We are not the judge. We're not the judge. We have to get off the throne and let God be the judge. Everything that everybody does on the earth, they're going to answer for it. God's going to speak to them at the judgment, just like he's going to speak to you at the judgment. They'll answer it. We don't have to worry about what ministers do, how ministers speak, if they fall. We don't have to worry about our brothers and sisters, that they're falling in sin. We don't have to worry about any of that. Praise the Lord, because we're not the judge. He's the judge. He'll judge everything and everybody. Everybody will stand before his throne and answer concerning everything they've done and every word they've spoken. You know, we look at everybody else and we just want to crush them. And we look at ourselves with rose-colored glasses. We're fine. We're good. We don't have to look at ourselves, because that's not fun. Oh, let's look at you. I saw what you did the other day. That was nasty. Just like my 3-year-old grandson. Well, I have a 2-year-old grandson, and he talks like Japanese, you know. He's trying to talk. He's doing better now. And David and Jimmy, who's 3 years old, he's got this like stuttering problem. So one day my husband heard Jimmy say to David, that David talks funny, you know. So I mean, we just need to curtail our tongues and ask the Lord for the fruit of self-control. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself before the Lord. That means go low, go low, go low, go low. Go as low as you can go. Humble yourself, and God will lift you up. Melissa and I were having a Holy Ghost party. Holy Ghost showed up in the living room a few days ago. And the Lord said prophetically, you are in a war. And then I saw this vision of this war going on all around. And the Lord said, go low, go low, go low. And I saw these bullets, and I saw these arrows. And the arrows and the bullets were not able to hit, because we were going low down. And so those that were walking proudful, I'm it, I'm all that. Well, they were getting hit by the bullets and hitting by the arrows. They were going down. They were coming down. But those that went low were protected in the war. They were absolutely protected. They were not moved in the war. There's a war going on. There's a war going on. We have to go low. Go low. You know, as your pastors, we cannot make you hungry for God. We cannot make you thirsty for God. We cannot make you desperate for God. Do we want you to be hungry and desperate? Do we want you to be thirsty and cry out for revival? Yes, but we can't do that for you. You know, Brian's new favorite show now is Deadly Catch on TLC. And on Deadly Catch, this is a show where these fishermen go out and they go on treacherous waters, and they catch fish, and it's very dangerous. And so Brian was desperate to have Connie be interested. He wanted her to be interested in this show. This was his favorite show now. So, come on, Connie, come on, watch the show with me. She's all right. She's astounded. She watches the show. So she gets up to get something to eat, and he puts the show on pause. She goes, what are you doing? You don't have to put it on pause. I'm really not interested. Now, we can't make you interested, but God can make you interested. God can, if you spend time with Him, He can change you. He can give you the interest and the desire to go and be always working in the Lord. Always working in the Lord. Always laboring in the Lord. Always knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Always working in the Lord. Are you always working in the Lord? Are you laboring in the Lord? Are you getting out of your comfort zone? Or are you comfortable? You're saying no over there? Well, then get out of your comfort zone. Get up and begin to work and labor in the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for an honest person over there. You know, it's time for revival. And it's time for revival. It's time for revival. It's time for revival to start with us. What does that mean? That means to yield to the fire, repent, change, and go. Let's everybody say it. Yield to the fire, repent, change, and go. Yield to the fire, repent, change, and go. Who's going to go? So revival starts with us. And then we're going to see it in the region. Right? Yeah. Amen? Amen? The beginning of revival, a great awakening. This is what it is. Listen up. Everybody listening? Yes. People who are sleeping would wake up. People who are lukewarm would fire up. Those who are dishonest would confess up. Those who are disgruntled would sweeten up. Those who are discouraged would cheer up. Those who are estranged would make up. Gossips would shut up. Dry bones would shake up. True soldiers would stand up. Church members would pray up. Then we would have revival. Amen. Amen.